Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it. Because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you use a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Yeah, using big words. Like I'm pedagogical, magniloquent or something. Sometimes when people accuse me of things. Is very difficult. I'd rather be pulchritudinous, but I'm not. Welcome to the program. The doctor is in Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Call-in program with you, the stars. That is the truth, by the way. Without you, they don't want me. So you make it run. As well as Andrew Krucek, my producer man over there in Ann Arbor, and Eric Dumont, call screamer, and all the folks at EWTN. Global Catholic Radio Network. I've been trying to get him to spell it radio as an R-A-Y-D-I-O. And I've talked to some of the big shots over there at EWTN, and I don't know if they haven't responded to my emails with my suggestion. I don't. Maybe they're not getting them. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a professional living. And here on the program, I'm not going to diagnose, and I'm not going to do therapy, and I'm not going to in any way step on any other therapist's toes, as well as any aspects that they say. But we can give a few ideas, a few thoughts, whether it's about kids, situations in your life that you're struggling with, adult children who you are so hurt by, or they've written you out of their lives, or grandkids, or faith questions that interact and intersect with psychology. Oh, there's those big words again. I got to use big words, because if you're gonna have a PhD, you got to throw a big word around every once in a while. Really does. It makes you linguistically mellifluous, I think, anyway. Okay, 877-573-7825. 877-57-equal. Recently, a politician described something that she wanted to do with a very, very ugly type of curse word. It's a word that 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, if you used it publicly, you were in big trouble. Big, big trouble. It was just not something you said. And I find it fascinating the reaction to the word. It's not universal. On one hand, the reaction has been, wow, how could she say that? That's just so totally inappropriate. On the other hand, there's a large group, and I think it's growing, that says, what? What's the big deal? Oh, come on. I was listening. I was getting ready to work out, and I was at the locker, and off to the side of the locker room is a little sitting area. Five or six guys were talking about this particular use of language by this politician. The upshot was, well, I can't believe she said it, but, oh, that's, I mean, have you listened to language nowadays? I mean, that's pretty much how everybody talks. That's sort of the way it is. And it wasn't a sadness over the way it is. It was a accept it. This is the way it is. What's the big deal? She wasn't stepping that far out of bounds, because the new bounds are way out there. Socially very acceptable. And I've noticed that does seem to be one of the dominant justifications of our moral downward, I don't even want to use the word trend. It's probably a free fall. Which is, well, that's how it's done now. I had a parent tell me that their son, who was doing something
pretty egregious morally. At least it used to be viewed that way. And they attempted to say something to him about it. His response.
Mom, this is 2019.
As if to say this is the new moral normal. There was a politician once who called it defining deviancy down. I think we've defined morality down. And anyone who says, I want to live according to a much higher moral standard, a standard that God has taught us through His church, through His Bible, is now viewed as someone way out of touch because the bulk of people don't do it that way, and the bulk defines what is acceptable. That is the way it is. And as I listened to this conversation with these guys, there was not a tone of, she was way over the line in saying that. No, it was, well, what do you expect? I mean, that's kind of the way people talk now. But their point was, we have to accept it. How sad. The new moral normal. If it's group done, it's okay. Archbishop Fulton Sheen had a wonderful, wonderful comment about this kind of thing. He said, right is right, even if no one is right. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is wrong. You got that? Right is right, even if no one is right. In other words, there's an objective standard. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is wrong. In other words, even if everybody does it, it doesn't make it good or right. And people of faith never should use that as a rationale that that's the way it's done now. That's how people talk now. I've heard that from so many kids using words that at one time would never have been uttered because of their implication. Now it's, what? What? What are you talking about? Right is right, even if no one's right. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is wrong. I'm Dr. Ray.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objective risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
How do I handle difficult family members? When do I correct others? When do I hold my tongue? Too often, we're late in realizing that we mishandle a situation, causing both resentment and frustration. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. And in my new book, Thinking Like Jesus, I tackle these questions and more. Check it out and more of my books at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. And this is exactly why I am not the producer of this program. I can't think of everything. During the break, both Andrew Krucek, my producer man, and Eric Dumont, my primary call screamer, pointed out to me that I did not mention this was not, I repeat, not our standard look back Friday where we take previously recorded calls and we don't take phone calls. This is an open line Friday. In other words, you can call in. We do this every so often because there are folks who, for whatever their schedule reason, can only listen on Friday. And sometimes we do this for E-Person Monday, too. We just add a live show because we want to take your calls. So, this is your chance. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Right now, the lines are open and ready for you. Typically in the past, when we say we have a show taking calls on a Friday, people immediately call in, like right now it's happening, because loyal listeners, of whom I have a total listening audience of about 140, but loyal listeners about 9, they know that on Friday, if they call, it rings. But this particular Friday, we are taking calls. So, if you wish to call in, please do so. 877-573-7825. And while they are screaming the calls right now, I will just add a little codicil to the manalog. I was talking about how we accept conduct, thinking, morality, that even 30 years ago in our culture would have been much more publicly, well, if you want to use the word shamed. Not good to shame anybody for any reason now, except if you adhere to traditional Christian morals, then you can be shamed. This is happening in parenting, by the way. Many parents go along with the acceptable simply because it is the group norm. For example, cell phones. You know, the average age of a cell phone now, is a kid getting a cell phone, is 10. You hold out till 12, you're way out of the norm. Okay? Oh, that's crazy. I've just been told that all of our lines, 9 of them, immediately filled up. So our theory that when we give folks a chance to call on a Friday because normally they don't get that chance is correct. Might have to do a few more of these open line Fridays. Just quickly, then I'll get to your calls. And I see that in parenting. For example, cell phone. The group norm on a cell phone is 10. All right? So many parents, I think the bulk of parents, determine when to give a cell phone on the basis of the group norm. Not on the basis of the child's moral maturity. Not on the basis of what they as a parent think is good for their child's virtue and development. No. Now, some parents will say, oh, no, I'm not like that. I'm not a sheep. So what do? They hold out till the kid's 12. Way too young anyway. But they held out for 2 years beyond the group norm. All right, let's get back to your calls. Jim, Idaho. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing, Doc?
Hey, this situation is so doggone common. It really is.
Uh-huh.
Your wife is upset that you're looking into the Catholic Church. Was she raised in any type of denomination or independent church?
Oh, yeah. We were both. We both were.
So she's very staunch in that.
Well, we were both raised in Baptist churches. We were on opposite sides of the country, and I met my wife. There's so much to it, but anyway, I ended up as a Seventh-day Adventist, and I met my wife at Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I've just always been, you know, I want to know more about Jesus, and, you know, I don't care where the truth takes me. That's where I want to be. And
Jim, she's going to say, how do you know you're getting the truth?
You can't refute it. I have studied this, and I don't. It doesn't matter what anybody comes up with. You cannot refute the truth of the Catholic Church. And it all comes down to authority. And you know, I mean, it's like, and I'm having all these opportunities to talk to other people who are not Catholic, and even my nephew. I told him, I said, you know, I don't care. It really doesn't matter what the denomination is. Anything outside the Catholic Church was born out of rebellion. You just have to look at the roots of it.
You got to be careful on that one, Jim. Jim, you got to be careful on that one.
Okay.
You may be making a good point, but you're starting out by essentially saying you are wrong to them. And if there's any of that whiff in what you're doing with your wife, you're gonna evoke resistance right now, okay? I think a good approach is to say, honey, I am not even going to in any way try to convince you of what I'm being convinced of. Not at all. This is something that you have to ask questions about. This is something you have to look into on your own at your own pace. I'm not going to give you stuff to read. I'm not going to do that unless you ask for it. Here's what I want to show you. I want to show you that my search for Catholic truth is making me a better husband and father. That is the only way I'll convince you. The only way. I have a book, Jim, called When Faith Causes Family Friction. In that book, it's on my website. But in that book, I talk about people, family members, spouses, who look at you and essentially say, what are you doing? I didn't marry a Catholic. I raised my son to think something else, and now he's going into that church. That's very common. So with your wife, just say, honey, I will be, and even, I'd even go so far as to say this, Jim. If she wants to go to her particular church's service, go. Just make sure that you also continue to look into the Catholic Church, and ultimately, if you convert, you go to Mass. I did that with my wife for about a year. I went to both. I went to Mass in the morning, and then went over to her evangelical church. Okay?
That's exactly what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, and I think you got
to get... I talked to her a little bit different than I talked to my nephew.
Yeah, I would understand that. Yeah, back off on anything that looks like you're pushing on her. Because she'll be scared. She'll be scared. She'll be thinking, I don't want my husband to become a Catholic nut. What is this? No, she needs to see that everything you're getting into is going to make you a better person for her. That's what you got to do, Jim. That's the hardest part. I mean, the arguments are easy. The facts are easy. The reasoning is easy. The hard part is being a more loving dad and husband. Go for it, buddy.
Yep.
Keep up the search and just almost tell her, honey, my doing this will not affect you in any way other than I'll be more loving. I think you'll win her over, Jim. God bless you, buddy. All right, let me take a look at this line here of folk. Patty Patty. Covenant Network, St. Louis Mo. Hi, Patty.
Hi. I was calling today. I hear your commercial all the time about the 1 in 100 kid. What about the 1 in 100 parent? I have a husband who does not discipline his 8-year-old daughter. She's not my kid. She's from a previous marriage. And just wanted to know how I can help light a fire under him to not just go along with the norm.
Does he have custody?
We have shared custody. So we have to, he has 50-50.
Is his reason for having a unlit fire underneath him that he's afraid she'll gravitate towards her mother?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think also he feels guilty that he can't be in her life all the time. And so he just gives her whatever she wants. And that includes screaming fits where she curses him out and throws things.
Ouch!
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Patty, I'm not sure you can light a fire under him because he's being likely driven by emotion and fear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my daughter not to prefer me. I don't want her to run to her mother. I don't want to hear when she's 11. I'm not going to go visit him. He has rules. Okay, he won't give me a cell phone.
Well, and see, that's one of the things that he says that he really likes about me is that I am very structured and there are rules and that, you know, I'm very Catholic in my faith. So I follow what the catechism teaches. And he says that that's one of the things that he, you know, really admires about me and that he would like his daughter to emulate me. And I'm like, well, if you want that, then you have to lay down the law yourself. When she is with both of us, that's how she acts, is she has the big fits and stuff. But if it's just me, she is a completely different kid because she knows I'm not going to put up with that.
Patty, I'm going to give you some advice that's probably not going to jive with what you've been doing.
Uh-huh.
I think you better sit down with your husband and say, when your daughter is with both of us, I am not going to discipline. It's all on you.
That's what I have done.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it irritates me, and I said, you know, I think maybe it would be better if I just got a hotel room when she's here, because...
No, don't go that far. Don't do that.
I can't sit and watch that. Yeah.
Leave the room, do whatever you got to do. Here's what's going to happen, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. Your husband, with all good intentions, is probably terribly misguided. And within another 2, 3, 4 years, his relationship with his daughter will continue to deteriorate.
And that's what I'm afraid of, right?
Yeah, well, it's going to happen. And unless he comes to realize that in the near future, the very thing that he feared, which is, what if she doesn't want to come and be with me,
right,
will happen. Because
mm-hmm.
you cannot appease a child like this. It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
It's going to get worse. So
right.
I think if you're going to talk to him at all, you don't talk to him about how he needs to be a better disciplinarian, because I don't know if he's got it in him. But you talk to him mm-hmm. about how does he like the way she behaves around him, and how long will he be able to tolerate this. You focus on
okay.
the fact that it's going to get worse if he doesn't go against his instincts. His instincts
right.
are bad. But if you try to convince him how he's wrong, come on, Pat, you've been doing that for how many years now?
We've only been married for a year and a half.
Okay, well, you've been doing it for a year and a half, and he hasn't budged,
right.
has he?
Well, you know, yeah. he says he does, but then he doesn't. Yeah.
Right, he hasn't budged. So that's what I would suggest. I have a book that might help you. It's called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It's on my website. Maybe your husband will read it and decide a better way is to be a loving, firm daddy.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare costs?
Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Registered nurse Jill Stanek was the opening speaker to a recent Respect Life conference at Christ the King Church.
This is how far abortion has brought us in the United States today, that we are now arguing on the merits of letting babies who have survived the first attempt to kill him or her die or be killed after that baby is born. In fact, my own state senator, Barack Obama, in 2001, 2002, and 2003, argued with me in committees saying that to give a preterm born baby the same legal rights as a full-term born baby, he said, would lead to the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And he ended up voting against that bill four times.
Jill Stanek was shocked that Christ Hospital, where she worked in Chicago, aborted babies by letting them die after they were born. She did something about it. Hear what she did and what left Bill O'Reilly speechless. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Providing a little psychological vaccine to cure latent parentis maximus wimpus. Dr. A here. This came in just, I'll get back to your calls here, a lot of them. This just came in a minute ago from dear Helen in Idaho, one of my, the woman listens relentlessly. She listens more than I do. I work in food service, Dr. Ray. I'm a hostess. Food service is plagued with, well, I won't say the word, but she didn't say the word either. It's plagued with cursing, serious cursing. The young people don't even really know the meaning of it. It's appalling. They seem to know it as only an adjective, meaningless. I tell them it is vulgar. Some are even proud of using it. Yep, Helen, you are witnessing the idea that, oftentimes. Now, some might say, Dr. Ray, morality is not the way you talk. The way you talk does reflect morality, and it does reflect how you think of things. Of course, how you think is how you do. A real quick one here from Mark, Kingdom City, Missouri. I think that's rather appropriate, Kingdom City, Missouri, especially given the question. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Sure. You're on the air.
Oh.
Be careful.
Okay.
Make sure your attorney's with you.
I'm trying to figure out, why is it Sunday that all these Catholic people or Christians or whatever they are, then keeping the Sabbath?
Sure. That's a very, very fair question. And you know what? It's also a question that might address something you didn't ask. So I'll get to that in a sec. Very simple answer is that the Jewish law, the Sabbath, was Saturday. That was the day they are to revere and keep holy. For the Christians, they believed that Christ rose from the dead on a Sunday, which to them was, of course, the most important day of the week by far. It was the miraculous sign of the resurrection, if it happened. And also, Christ gave the apostles, if you believe the accounts in the Bible, he gave the apostles authority. He said, okay, you now have authority to set up how my followers will behave. And they viewed Sunday as the very most important day of the week. Now, here's a question you didn't ask, Mark, and I think, personally, it's a powerful piece of evidence that Christ did rise from the dead. What we do know historically, and you don't have to go to the Bible to know this, that these guys were Jews.
And as Jews, they were probably reasonably familiar with Jewish law. And they knew that the Sabbath was Saturday. They knew that. And they knew that their law, the Jewish law, and even Jews of today, Orthodox Jews, viewed the Sabbath as Saturday. They didn't have the authority to change that. There's no way. So the fact that they did change it, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, if in fact something else happened, who knows? They went ahead and said, no, he rose. Now, if he didn't rise, Mark, they could have said, yeah, he rose on Saturday. Isn't that something? Right there on the Jewish Sabbath, he rose. What do you know? Isn't that cool or what? Does God know how to plan things or doesn't he? No, they didn't do that. They said he rose on Sunday. And therefore, that is our new holy day. And when I was struggling with my faith, Mark, and I was looking at logic and evidence, reason that I could use to understand, could this be true? That was one of them. These guys went ahead, and if they were good Jews, which some of them probably were, they jeopardized their soul by changing this to Sunday. If, in fact, he didn't rise from the dead, and if, in fact, he didn't give them authority to view the new Sabbath as Sunday. That's a great question, Mark. I appreciate the call there, buddy. Thank you so much. By the way, you know, you want more kind of logical, reasonable evidence on some of this stuff? There's a book out that I liked a lot. It's called Handbook of Catholic Apologetics. Now, it used to be called Handbook of Christian Apologetics. I don't know if there's two versions or what. By a guy named Peter Kreeft, K-R-E-E-F-T, and a priest named Ron Tosselli. They took a lot of these questions like that and said, let's just look at this logically. See if, in fact, we can bring reason and logic to bear to this question. Who was this guy? And did he rise from the dead? Because if he did, this is big, big stuff. No question. Drew, New Jersey.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, Drew. How are you? Drew, you there, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, sir.
Hey, there's a passage that says, whoever prevents one of these little ones from come to me, it would be better if there's a millstone.
Okay. All right, I got it. Let's see what else is going on. Kay, Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Kay. Hello, Kay.
Hello.
Kay, how are you, dear?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Dr. A.
Glad to hear that.
The reason I'm calling, I have an adult son who lives in Colorado, smoking dope. He's psychotic. He's not sleeping.
Ooh.
He has visions of grandeur, does erratic spending. This happened about a year and a half ago to 2 years ago.
How old is he, dear?
Job, lost his family, lost everything.
How old is he?
He's 44.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but are you saying that prior to the last couple of years, he was reasonably clear?
Well, about a year and a half ago, he went off the deep end, just like he's doing now. And then he got sober, and he's been sober and in church and on his knees. And I said to him, God's taking you to the foot of the cross, sweetheart, and that's where you are. And he is a believer. But I think there's something is pulling him the other direction, Dr. Ray, and we don't know what to do. My daughter's going out this weekend. He's in California. My daughter's going out this weekend. I'm going next week. What do you do with an adult child that is going circling the drain?
Prior to this, Kay, when he was a late teenager, early 20s, that area, did you see any of this?
I thought he drank too much. And then he was in the military for 6 years. Then he went to college. Then he got his MA. And, yeah, he's always been a partier.
But he wasn't crazy.
No. He's psychotic now.
He's psychotic now.
Does marijuana do that to people? I don't even know.
You know, that is becoming the real bruiser of a question. You bring up some great points, and that's why I was asking some of the things I did. You stay right there, if you will, Derek, because we've got to take a hard break. When we come back, you and I will talk a little bit more about this necessarily ain't your daddy's marijuana anymore. I'm Dr. Ray. The program is The Doctor Is In. The number, 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. On this particular Friday, which is an open line, because normally we have a look back Friday. But today we allow people to call in because, well, sometimes people can only call in on Fridays. So every so often, I just dispense with look backs.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Professor Paul Williams is a Catholic lay Dominican who practiced Buddhism for many years. As he studied that philosophy, he realized that elements of it, especially the idea of karma and rebirth or reincarnation, ultimately rendered life meaningless. His search for a rational answer led him to Christ and the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio. Food for the Journey's Sister Ann Shields on the struggles of compromising that leads to a failure of growing with the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, you really can make decisions that bring clarity. Don't just live with the status quo. Don't just say, well, this is the kind of person I am. These are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. It's fine to say that. But so many of us, I think, feel like, well, this is the way I've always been, or this is my personality, or whatever. To excuse ourselves from confronting, am I really following the Lord, or do I have my feet in two different camps, the world and God, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth? Do I have my two feet in one place, or am I straddling? And if I'm straddling, you're always going to compromise. You're always going to try to find a way through that salves your conscience, but in fact, you're trying to serve two masters. And it won't work. So I want to urge you to take a look. Don't just listen to these readings and say, oh, I should think about this sometime. Think about it today.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey, weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
I'm practicing being more holy. And part of that is I gotta apologize before I do anything wrong. I haven't done it wrong yet. There's just an awful lot of people on the line who aren't going to get onto the show. And I want to apologize to them. I don't want to wait until I do something wrong and then apologize. I want to apologize beforehand. Try that in a marriage one. See how that works. Honey, I'm going to do something wrong. I just want to apologize before it. But in compensation, anybody on the line will be first up in any show that they choose down the road. I'm talking to Kay from Omaha. Kay has an adult child, 44, I believe she said, 42, 44, somewhere in there, who in the last year and a half has become overtly psychotic. No history of psychosis, a history of drinking. He's lost his family. He's essentially, it sounds like he's on the streets. He lives out of state for her. And she's saying, what do I do here? What's going on? Kay, you still there, dear?
Yes, I am. He's not on the streets, okay. Dr. Ray. He was very frugal. He has saved money. He has money put away. And he's very talented, so he can get a job when he's clean. But he isn't maintaining.
Here's the question, Kay, and we really don't know the answer to this. There does seem to be some indication that some of the marijuana that's out there, whether it's adulterated, meaning stuff's put into it, whatever does seem to be having, for some vulnerable people, a psychotic effect.
Right.
Given that he doesn't have a history of this psychosis, you wonder if, in fact, if he stays clean, the psychosis will resolve itself. I don't know.
Did last time.
Okay, good. This is good to know. If your daughter, who is going to visit him, can convince him to get to a psychiatrist so that, in the meantime, he can get proper medication, maybe he can get into an AA meeting, he can get some place where he can get some adult support. The problem you run into is right now he's not thinking right. And when you're not thinking right, you don't think you need help.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's exactly what he is.
And that's the tragedy in a situation like this.
Well, I'm planning on going out probably next week, and I'm just going to take all my clothes and plan on moving in. Is that wrong?
It's not wrong, but you make sure he's safe for you. You don't want him to be in so far out of it that he doesn't recognize reality to the degree that he's a danger to you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I thought of that too. No. He's my baby. I mean, he's my...
Well, he may be your baby, dear, but right now he's not thinking right.
I know.
Maybe you could stay at a hotel.
That's what I need to do, is get him into a psychiatrist, get him into a group, a support system. Is that all I can... And maybe get the psychiatrist to give him some medication. Let's get stabilized and start over again. Is that what we can do?
Well, that's what you can do if he cooperates.
Right.
The problem is the reality is sometimes they don't cooperate. And in our culture now, and this is very sad what has happened here. You can no longer commit somebody unless they're a danger to themselves or somebody else.
Right.
In the old days, you could commit somebody if they were so far out of it that they needed help and you had to get them that help, they could be committed. Well, in our movement towards autonomy and individual rights and civil rights, we now have a much larger street population, partly because many of these folks are refusing treatment, and we can't make them. So, God bless you, dear.
If I can't get him, if I go out there, I'm going to planning on going out there. I'm going to stay there as long as I can. If I can't get him to a psychiatrist, if I can't get him to a support group, do I walk away, doctor?
You don't walk away, honey. You let him know you love him. You don't walk away.
I do. I love him.
Let him know you love him.
For him, and he knows it too.
And people are going to say to me,
"Shouldn't walk away."
I'm going to get emails. I know this. That are going to say, "Dr. Ray, why didn't you tell Kay to pray for her son?" Now, Kay.
I've been praying.
Of course, you have, my dear. That has been the number one prayer in your life. So for me to sit up here on high and say, "Okay." You know, have you thought about praying? Come on. That would almost be, in my opinion, an insult. Because here you are, a loving mom, whose heart is broken by your child's direction, and I'm going to suggest that you pray as if you never thought about it. You've been praying for years for this boy.
Every night, all the time.
All the time. Thank you for the call, honey. Good luck on your journey.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
All right. Okay, honey. I've got anonymous. Well, all right. Let me try to squeeze this in. Anonymous call from an anonymous location. The question is when to stage an intervention. Are you there, caller? Caller there? Is this so anonymous that our caller's not there anymore? There you go. There you go. That's all right, buddy. Give me more specifics on that.
Well, it kind of ties into the call you just had. It's actually a niece I have. It's 22. It's a heavy marijuana smoker. But she has had a history of having problems through her teenage years, cutting herself, these things. She happened to get pregnant last year. And she had a baby that's about a year old now. When you see him out at family functions and things, everything, she's a very loving mother, very kind to the baby. They look clean, presentable. But in the background, the landlords came to my brother and her parents and complained that there's just loud arguing, smelling marijuana coming out of the apartment. And there's actually been one temporary taking of the child by CPS for a short time, and that was due to the conditions in the house not being clean. And we just got word the other day that they're about to get evicted from their apartment. So,
your phone, I don't mean to interrupt, your phone is fading in and out. Is there a reason for that?
It might be my voice.
Okay. No, I don't think so. It sounds technical. Okay. What makes you think, as her uncle, you have leverage?
Well, I'm not quite sure if I do have leverage. I mean, I wouldn't say we're close, but I'm just to the point where I don't know if I can live with myself knowing if it happens that I didn't do everything that I could have. I'm known as the Catholic in the family. My family's not Catholic. I converted a few years ago, and when she became pregnant, I was the last person to find out because the abortion option was still there, and they didn't want to tell me until the last minute. But I love the baby, I love her, and we're just not quite sure what to do.
I would talk to her parents first. I would ask them if they think it would be helpful if you talked to her.
And my thought of an intervention wasn't just me as an intervention. I meant, like, the family intervention.
You can't make anybody do that.
Okay.
See, I know you're thinking I have a moral obligation.
Right.
You don't have a moral obligation to make somebody get help if they don't want it at all. Think about it. I couldn't be a psychologist because a huge percentage of my people are not going to follow through with anything I say, and they're not going to do what would make their lives better. Well, do I have a moral obligation to try to fix it? No, I don't. I will do what I'm asked to do for the moment. See, I think in your situation, you got to find out what your limits are. They may not want to hear about anything from you. You're the moralist. You're the Catholic, the Christian. Stay out of our face. You're judgmental. And I think if you find out if you smell that from her parents, then the next step for you is, how do I love her without talking about how she's messing up her life? Maybe you visit her. Maybe you take her out to eat. Maybe you just try to enjoy her company on a one-on-one basis. Ask her about her kid and about motherhood and what she's doing these days, rather than, hey, you're screwing up and I'm here to straighten you up. That's the way I'd approach it.
They're in the same mindset as I am. They're worried, too, that, you know, that the hammer's going to fall. And wondered if they were the ones that called CPS initially, because you won't let people in the apartment. You want to go to check on her and visit, you can't. She won't let you in.
Ask her out to breakfast. I'm big on breakfasts. Ask her out to breakfast. Hey, want to get together for breakfast? She's going to be suspicious of you. She's going to wonder, why not? Why now? Why is my uncle calling me to ask me out for breakfast? And you just tell her. You just say, hey, I've been wondering about you, wondering how you're doing. Let's just get together. And if she refuses you, then you got your answer. You pray for her, and you realize she's at this point in her life, she doesn't want anybody stepping in and trying to tell her how to live her life. Sometimes, in the words of Clint Eastwood, a man's got to know his limitations. Thank you, sir. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
The Chaldean News is a monthly news magazine about the Chaldean community and for the Chaldean community and for anyone wanting to learn about the Chaldeans or work with them. Chaldeans are Christians from Iraq. They are the indigenous people of the region. They speak Aramaic, the language of Jesus, and were converted to Christianity by St. Thomas the Apostle, who is the patron saint for the Chaldeans. The Chaldean News covers all of the community news in the United States and around the globe, from local business developments to what's going on in Iraq. The Chaldean News also publishes up-to-date stories on social media, including on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. New stories are posted regularly on the website at ChaldeanNews.com. You can subscribe today and keep abreast of what's going on in the Chaldean community. Find out more by going to thechaldeannews.com or find us on social media platforms.
Man failed the first test of freedom. He refused God's plan of love and chose freely to sin and made himself a slave to sin. That first sin gave mankind the gene or inclination to sin, which has given birth to numerous other sins. The Catholic Catechism reminds us that the exercise of freedom does not imply a right to say or do everything. Man is not totally self-sufficient, and his final goal is not his own self-interest and the enjoyment of earthly goals. When man violates the moral law, he becomes his own prisoner, disrupting neighborly fellowships while rebelling against divine truth. For freedom, Galatians tells us, Christ has set us free. He redeemed us from sin, which held man in bondage. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Most people get in shape after the holidays. I decline. And the reason is because I can't get on any of the machines. Because the place is so full of people wanting to get in shape that I can't exercise because it takes too long to get to a machine. So I just go eat pizza. And then I wait until mid-February when it's all back to normal. Paula from Canton says, I should have more of my books on audiobooks. They were. Pretty much all of them were on audiobooks, except the audiobooks are being phased out. Well, wait a minute. No, I'm wrong. Okay, they were on CD. All right. I really don't know, Paula, which ones are on audiobooks. All right. Since I know who you are and you're calling from Canton, I can get you, no, they're not on 8-track, I just discontinued those last week. I can get you some of those on CDs if you wish. Let me know. See you at church. The CDs went out before the 8-tracks? Yes, because I have an 8-track. Let's see, where do we go? I don't have time for any more quick questions, so let's go to Cindy from Bismarck. Because her question is, what is sorrow? Boy, I hope I can answer this or I'll feel really bad. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Is it an emotion?
Yes.
Well, in my Fighting Mad book, see how I'm plugging books left and right today? In my Fighting Mad book, I talk about emotions being part feeling and part thought. Any sense that we have, any feeling that we have, can be mitigated or exacerbated by our thoughts. Let's say that someone in my life passes away, and my sorrow is very, very deep. But part of that sorrow is that I believe I didn't do enough while they were alive. I ignored them, I didn't visit them, etc. That's going to make my sorrow worse. What experience I have as an emotion is going to get worse. So sorrow is going to happen under certain circumstances no matter what. The question becomes, what role do the thoughts play? An awful lot of people, Cindy, have sorrow where really they don't need to have sorrow. You know, I have some children that are not running their lives well. Now, how great is my sorrow over that? I've had people say to me, that just must kill you. That just must destroy you. Well, it doesn't. Not that I'm callous, but that I recognize that there comes a point in every parent's life that you're pretty much limited in what you can do. And therefore, if I were to dwell on what the children are doing or scouring the past for where I made my mistakes or however parents wrestle with that, my sorrow would be greater, all coming from my thoughts, all coming from my interpretation. So for me, the question is, when you're feeling sorrow, you ask yourself, what am I thinking here? What is bringing on this sorrow? And if you say, well, it's a certain circumstance that you're going to feel sorry about no matter what, okay, I got that. But if you can say to yourself, well, mixed in with this emotion is a bunch of thoughts that I'm having, and I got to make sure that these thoughts are correct, because if they're not, the sorrow's going to be heavier and longer lasting when it doesn't need to be. So there you go. When in the book Fighting Mad, I talk about anger that way, but most of those points could be extrapolated to sorrow also. All right, those of you who did not get on, please call back. You will be first up. I guarantee it.
If we remember it was you,
so you'll have to tell us, and we'll believe you. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Zinn. Thank you, Andrew Krucek. Thank you, Eric Dumont. Thank you, EWTN, and Ave Maria. I'm just thanking everybody. So gratitudeful. Walk with God. Hold your kids tight by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.